Hey, thanks for checking out my podcast, the Degenerate Horse Player Podcast, hosted by me, Michael Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at MHJPix, also online at www.mhjpix.com. All right, it's been a while since I've been on the airways, but I figured for Breeders' Cup, I may as well throw a show out there. Thanks for listening. If you remember, I just do a one-take show. I don't edit. I don't add any fancy sound effects or anything other than the intros and such. I just go through the card real quick, tell you who I like, try to keep it nice and quick, because I know usually if you're listening to one podcast, you're listening to others and just want to give out my opinion. So let me take you through Santa Anita's card. For the Friday Breeders' Cup races, I will start with the non-Breeders' Cup races, just give you a couple opinions in those, then move on to the actual five main Breeders' Cups events. So race one, I think Go With Gusto, who was entered in the Breeders' Cup events, stands over this field, third in a grade one last time out, but is still a maiden, oddly enough, because she was DQ'd in her first race. But I think this one really stands out over this field. The four is going to take a lot of money. I'm not a believer. I think the six has a shot as well as the eight. But I really think the five is primed and ready to go again. Race number two, it's going to be tough if Marinda repeats that effort last time out. That was a pretty impressive effort. But you always have to be a little bit leery in these situations. Of a horse like that that was so impressive on debut. Not real familiar with California trainers or Gary Mandela. I'm assuming somehow related to Richard Mandela. But Marinda looked pretty awesome on debut. I think Madison Ray, who is the eight horse, offers a little bit of value with some potential to do something. Of course, the seven horse won a stakes race here at Santa Anita. It was kind of one of those, it was a $98,000 stake, so not a huge stakes race, but is a stakes winner here on the course. But I think this race goes through number five. Race number three is pretty wide open, I think, actually. It is $150,000 stakes on the downhill turf. Number two will be the likely favorite, and I think definitely has a shot. White Moonlight is the name of this horse with great connections overseas. It's going to come in and make a difference. Be interesting to see how the course plays and how these overseas horses get a good look and a good run. So this will be the first indicator for the day of maybe how some of these horses traveled over. But, you know, Santa Anita track on the turf usually plays a little fast. That might be different from the European courses, but I think they're still going to have a distinct advantage. Number 12 Playlist is a horse that I like, coming off of a nice effort at Kentucky Downs. But you know, Kentucky Downs is a weird course that can also provide some fitness, improving buyer each time out. You gotta like to see that. Another one that I put on my deep tickets. When you look at my picks, is Rose Maddox, number 13. Interesting horse to me, number 13. Somebody you may want to consider in there, as well as if you're looking for a real value play, number 7 is coming off of an optional claiming win here at the Santa Anita Turf. Was pretty impressive in that race. So, you know, a couple of longer prices there, if that's your game, number 13 and number 7 are definitely people to consider on those multi-race. Or if you feel like just gambling on a win bet, I wouldn't blame you. Race number four. I've got three in my main contenders. I think number 11, Magic Spoon, has a nice late kick, and that could be important here in this race. It's a 7-furlong race. Most of these are sprinters that are used to going 6-furlong, so that extra furlong may cause a little bit of trouble for some of these, and this horse, I think, could handle, at a good magic, should be able to handle 7 furlongs. So I think somebody to watch is Magic Spoon. Number 6, Private Gem, is another horse that won on debut with a decent late kick. Had a tight trip, a troubled trip, if you will, and still made it through. Gets an upgrade in the jockey, upgrade in the saddle as well. Number one will likely be the favorite coming off of a stakes win. Definitely deserving of consideration as well, Dr. No-No. Now moving into our Breeders' Cup races. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint is race 5, and we have a huge field. It's one of those races that looks like it's going to have a ton of speed. Some of that speed is coming from the outside, and while I like some of those horses, I just don't know that the outside trip, they're really going to have to get over quickly to really have an impact on the 5 furlong. You know, the turn comes up relatively quick, and if you're out wide on that turn, it's going to be really tough to keep up with what I expect the pace is going to be. So with that said, I like number 9, actually, Amidst Waves, who is not necessarily the speed type. I think she is going to be sitting just off of the speed, waiting for that moment. Last out, ran 2nd, had a really tough trip. If you watch the replay of that, 8-1 right now on Amidst Waves, I think is a great value play. Has an expert at the track and Flavian Pratt in the jockey seat, and I think that horse could overcome the speed. Now, the speed to the speed is Big Ev's, number 4, but if you look, he's only run straights, so we'll see how he handles the turn. I think because he has a good inside position and he is really fast out of the gate, it might not be an issue to make this distance and the turn. To his inside, he's got number 1, Crimson Advocate, who is a 2-time stakes winner, one of those being at Royal Ascot in the Queen Mary Group 2 stakes. So, you know, nothing to look past here on Crimson Advocate other than a long layoff. I don't particularly like such a layoff coming into a race like the Breeders' Cup, but, you know, this horse has some talent, has proven himself, so it'll be interesting to see how he can do from the rail. He's got a good handler in Velasquez, who ran him to victory at Ascot. The other speed to the inside, which I think does have a chance because this horse may be the speed of the speed, is No Nay Metz. I'm pretty sure Irad Ortiz is going to put him out there and say go, 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 and see what he can do. I don't know that he's fast enough. He's been fast enough compared to the competition he's faced locally, but moving on to bigger and better company, it may be a bit of a challenge. I mentioned the outside speed. Number 11, Slider, is a very fast horse out of the gate as well. He's just going to have to expend a lot of energy. Wouldn't be shocked if this one was able to hold on, but not going to count on it. I think an interesting play, mainly for underneath, or if you want to go really deep and try to throw in a price, is number 8, Cherry Blossom. And, of course, number 12, Committee of One, did have a nice win in the Indian Summer last out. A late trip, but coming out of the 12 post is going to be a tall order. So, again, like Amidst Waves for the upset over the speed horses. Race 6, I think you're going to have a different perspective in the Juvenile Fillies. You're either going to love the 7 or you're going to want to beat the 7. I think number 7 is going to be tough. Has not raced 2 turns, but obviously with Bolt d'Oro and the Beholder, probably can handle 2 turns. And has been nothing but impressive, so I do really like the 7 horse here in the Juvenile Fillies Grade 1. There's going to be a lot of action on Candied, rightfully so. Impressive last time out. The comeback race for Vivi's Dream, not so good. And for Allies Beach, who I think is scratched actually from this, so beat a couple last time that were intended to do big things, but haven't yet. So a little hesitant on candied. I prefer, if you're looking for a bomb, number 8, Esprit Enchanté. For Peter Miller and J.J. Hernandez, one here on the course, a little bit of late speed, might sit off and go. And one that I'm getting more and more interested in as I look is number 12, Just FYI. Handled the slop really well in the Frisette, but just not sure as to what this horse has beat. Can she make a big difference? Can she even catch up to number 7? Because figure-wise, number 7 is far and above the best. So I probably will not get too cute here and use that 7 and hope that 2 turns is not an issue. But I, you know, definitely can see playing against as the value is not going to be there. Race number 7, I think, is probably the most wide-open race of the day. Number 6, Porta Fortuna, is a horse that I see coming into this race off a Group 1 victory, running in great form, should be good to go. But again, it's a very, very open race. This horse is 4-for-6 lifetime, which is impressive, and kind of makes this one a little bit of a standout. The local horse, I say local, by that I mean U.S. horse, that I think has the best shot is number 11. May even go off as your favorite today. Very impressive at Woodbine in the Natalma Stakes, which was a grade one. Nothing to dislike about this horse, 2-for-2. Cherie DeVoe is a solid trainer, especially on turf. Velasquez really knows how to ride turf, even though he doesn't get that notoriety. He's an excellent turf rider, so don't let that scare you off of number 11. She feels pretty. Number 14 is a horse I don't like the post. I'm gonna use my best French and say Le Prevot, but I have no idea. I don't know how to speak French. This horse is 6-for-6 in the money. Probably sitting on a nice race, lost to a horse named Opera Singer, who was a really nice horse in the last race, which is Group 1. And then before that, won a Group 2. So I think this horse right now sitting at 8-to-1 looks like a pretty good value bet. Hard to justify is one that, you know, you just never know with Chad Brown. Always got to consider those horses, I think, when he brings them into a race like this. Carla's Way is an Irish horse that's coming in that is a solid runner. Buchu, I'm not a huge fan of, but it's tough to ignore that. Lawn, which is a French horse, another one that has a legit chance. So a really wide open race. One that if you really have a strong opinion and you're right, I think you're going to make some money no matter what that opinion is. Because I feel like your favorite is probably going to be around 4-to-1. So good betting race if you have the right horse on top. Race number 8 is our Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And I actually am on a horse that most people seem to be off of, which is number 2, Prince of Monaco. Of course, has not raced the distance, but has done nothing wrong. It's 3-for-3 lifetime. I just think that, you know, running on the West Coast, it's hard to compare to some of these other runners. And I like what I've seen. I think this horse can do the distance. And, you know, Bob Baffert, you know, knows how to get it done with these horses. So I prefer him to the number 10, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with the number 10 either, but Muth did lose to Prince of Monaco in a sprint race. However, going longer, Muth looked really good. So I wouldn't be shocked to see either of these horses. The one that I think may go off as the favorite, according to the buzz I hear, is number 6, Locked, for Pletcher and Jose Ortiz. You know, can't blame anybody. This horse looked good in the last grade 1 win, the Breeders' Futurity race over at Keeneland. It's a solid horse. Had a gun runner, so you know this horse really can get after it out there. So number six, likely favorite, and I won't be mad at you if that's the way you go. One that I think has a good shot and maybe overlooked is number nine, Fierceness. So it was so impressive on debut, but had an awful race last out in the slop at Aqueduct. Was a big favorite and just flopped that day. But could have been the slop, could have been the bad start. I think this horse has the potential to do awesome things. Just don't know if those awesome things are going to be now or later in his career. So definitely one to keep on the radar. The Wine Steward looks like a good underneath play. I also hear a lot of talk about Timberlake, but I'm not a big fan of Timberlake. Maybe I'm going to be wrong on this horse. Does have some talent, obviously, but I just think isn't the horse in this race. Race number nine is your Juvenile Turf. Another wide open race. I do like number two, River Tiber, coming in for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. Nothing but solid efforts. Has run against a horse named Van Dyke, which is a pretty outstanding horse overseas. Before that, had won the three races that he was in. So I think he makes a lot of logical sense here. Number five, My Boy Prince, is a early speed front runner that I think can make a big impact, get out on the lead and go, 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 and not look back. I think there's potential there. We just got to see who presses and things, you know, may work out well for the five horse. Number eight, Unquestionable, is only a one-time winner at the maiden level. Has run well, so is not, you know, without a chance. Maybe better an underneath play, but definitely somebody you've got to consider with the connections. Number 14, Carson's Run, I think is the best American chance, but that post is just awful. It's a great late runner, but again, awful, awful post. Other than that, you know, it could be anybody. If it's not one of those four, I think it could be anybody. I'm not a huge fan of number nine, Endlessly. So he will probably win the race, and I won't have him on anything. So there you go. Final race of the day is race 10, Allowance Optional Claimer. See the return of the $3.5 million purchase, Hijazi. I believe that's the way you say it. For Bob Baffert, this horse comes in and is anything like he had been. He should dominate this field. I do think Ghost of Midnight could sneak up and sneak victory. Bus Bus will take some money and probably has a good live chance depending on what number three does. So number three is off a long layoff, but if this horse is ready and up to, you know, 90% of his ability, I think he'll win going away. All right, well, that's all I've got for today. Be sure to check out my picks online, MHJ Picks on Twitter. And if you want an early look at Saturday, there's ways to do that, and I'll make a podcast for Saturday as well. Good luck to you.